is God. Amen. And there's none beside Him. And I'm so thankful that I know Him in a personal way. Good to be at God's house tonight. And I'm looking forward to what God wants to teach us from His Word. I've enjoyed as I've studied the Psalms over the last few weeks. And I want to bring a psalm to you tonight, Psalm 27. If you'll turn to the 27th Psalm. Last Wednesday, we were discussing the Psalms and how that they are experiential. They are written from life's experiences. And I want to share with you an experience from David, who was the psalmist who wrote not quite half, but right at half of the Psalms that are recorded in God's Word. And as I mentioned to you last week, the Psalms are, well, they were the Jewish hymn book. We have our hymn book. Every church, especially Bible-believing church, has a good, solid hymn book in which they open up and sing the hymns of the faith. And I love the old hymns of the faith. They're loaded with good Bible doctrine. And we thank God for the good hymns of the faith. Well, this is the Jewish hymn book that God has inspired and preserved down through the years. And now we have a copy of these songs, 150 of them, as a matter of fact, in our Bible. And tonight we're going to look at the 27th Psalm. Before we get into it, I want to remind you, as I was talking to you last week, I told you about how that these Psalms were written in different places. And because of the places that David was in, they tell us about experiences that he was going through. Last week we looked at the Psalm from a horrible pit, Psalm 40. And tonight we'll look at Psalm from a pavilion. If you'll look down in verse number, at chapter 27, if you'll look down in verse number 5, you'll see where he says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion." And we'll talk about what that is and why David made that statement in just a moment. There's Psalm 63 where he mentions a dry and thirsty land. In Psalm 51, he mentions the mercy place. That's where that psalm was written from. And then in Psalm 57, he mentions a cave. And we are very familiar with the story where David was in the cave. And Saul came in, and David took a piece of his skirt of his garment and reminded Saul that he meant him no harm. And if he wanted to harm him, he certainly could have already done that. So these psalms speak about experiences, life's experiences. And tonight we're going to talk about something that I think is very relevant. I think all the Bible's relevant. I do. I was mentioning Sunday night, and if you listen to the broadcast or the live stream Sunday night, you'll recall me mentioning this, how that a lot of people are saying that, you know, the church is answering questions that are not relevant. And I have a response to that. It's not the church is answering questions that are not relevant. It's that we live in a society that is not asking the questions that are relevant. The church is answering. The Church of Jesus Christ, preachers that are preaching the Word of God, people that are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ are answering very relevant questions. It is very important that a man needs to know how his sins can be forgiven. It is very important that an individual know, is there life after death? And because there is, how do you make preparation? And where are you going to go when you leave this life? If you're saved, you're going to heaven. I think that's relevant. If you're not, you're going to hell. That's relevant. People need to know those things. Well, these psalms are from life's experiences. And there's some relevancy in this psalm. This psalm was written when David was on the run from Absalom. Absalom had rebelled and revolted. As a revolt, gathered an army together to overthrow David and the throne. And David is on the run. Many believe that he was even in a field when these things came to his heart and he began to write this psalm. So let's look at it, okay? Psalm 27. I want to read it to you, and I pray that you would read along with me, and then I'll bring you a few thoughts about the psalm. Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that is the 27th Psalm. Let's bow our heads, we'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll give you a couple of thoughts that the Lord's laid upon my heart to bring to you tonight. Father, we are grateful and we are thankful that you have preserved a copy of your inspired word, that as we have met here tonight as a group of believers, that we could open up your word and look into it and find grace to help in the time of need. Lord, as we face these days of uncertainty, we do not know what tomorrow holds, but God, we are confident who holds tomorrow. We do not know what's going to take place as a result of the worldwide pandemic, of this crisis in which we face, but we know who's going to take care of us through it. We know who's going to be with us. You have promised us you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And Lord, I pray that as we find strength tonight and comfort and help in your word, that you would build our faith upon the promises of the word of God. Open our understanding to your word. Holy Spirit of God, speak through my lips of clay the truth of thy almighty word. Change our hearts. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the 27th Psalm here, I pinned down a few things that I think would be of a help to us. There's two divisions in this psalm, verses 1 through 6. It's very easy to see. In verses 1 through 6 in the psalm, we have, well, David's kind of on the mountaintop. He's kind of on the peak. He's rejoicing in what God has done and who God is. And as we shall see here in just a moment, he's bragging on the Lord. And that's a good thing to do. He's bragging on God. He's talking about how great his God is and how he delights in the Lord. And then in verses 7 through 14, he kind of is in the valley. He's discouraged. He's scared. He's worried. And it's amazing how quick his emotions go from way up here to way down here. And as I was reading this psalm, I thought about how that can happen to me. It has happened to me. And it's apt to happen again. It's no doubt happened to you. It's amazing how that we can be praying, and in one line of our prayer, we can be telling God how great and how mighty he is. And then in the next line of our prayer, we may be asking God, how am I going to get out of this? It's just amazing how fickle we are as human beings. But I'm glad that God doesn't change, aren't you? I'm glad that God knows what we need, and I'm glad that God will bear with us even when our emotions are all over the place. You know, even if we go from way up here to way down here before the end of a day, the sun could rise and we could wake up way up here in faith, singing songs, trusting God, and before the sun sets, we could be down here in a valley questioning God and wondering what's going to happen and how am I going to get through this? Well, that's very similar to what happens here in this psalm. And so I want to walk you through it. The first thing that I notice here is that David made this statement. He said in verse number 1, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now, David didn't say the Lord is light. Now, God is light. We know that from 1 John 1:5, right? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 that God is an unapproachable light. God is so holy that man cannot approach him without a mediator, without a go-between. And I'm so thankful that we have that mediator and that go-between in the person of Jesus Christ. So David did not just say God is a light. He said, God is my light. God is my light. And he said, God is my salvation. He makes it very personal. As a matter of fact, if you'll look at those personal pronouns, he said, the Lord is my light. He said, the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, David's talking about personal experience. He's not just talking about something he's heard from other people. He's not just saying, well, you know, I've heard that this God of Israel, I've heard that this God of the people of Israel is a God of light, or that is a God of salvation, or is a God that protects. He's a buckler. He's a refuge. He's a mighty force. He's saying, no, I have experienced him that way. The Lord is my light. Have you had that experience with God? Do you know what it is to have a personal experience with the God of heaven? I pray that you do. I believe that many of you do. I hope that all of you do. You know what this world needs? This old world needs men and women, boys and girls, who have had a real encounter, a personal experience with the God of heaven. We hear all the time, what's going to make America great again? And I'm glad for the slogan. I'm glad for our president. I believe he's working to make our country great again. But, you know, you and I both know that the only thing that's really going to make our country great again is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. Now, listen, I understand what it takes as far as for a country, for capitalism to excel and for a country to enjoy the freedoms and the liberties that have been fought for and preserved, our God-given rights. But we know, brethren, we know that what this old world needs is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so David made it personal. He said, the Lord, in verse number 1, is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What a statement. He said, I know God is mine, and I'm not afraid of anything or anyone. You know, I'm not either. When I get in that place in my life, I can honestly say, and I know that you can say it too, when we are that close, when God is that real to us, it gives us a courage that nothing else in life can give. And I'm thankful that God can do that and will do it and has done it and will do it again in our lives. Then he said this. He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What a great statement. So what is David saying? David is saying this. He's saying, I recognize that this experience that I've had with God, this personal experience, it's not something that I've heard other people. You know, I've thought about this. I've thought through the years how I've sit in church services and I've heard people testify. And what wonderful testimonies from the saints, from the brethren. Isn't it wonderful when you go to the house of God and people stand up and they testify of how God has worked miracles in their life? Brethren, you know and I know that the God that we serve is a miracle-working God. God is still working miracles. And I'm thankful that I've sit in the sanctuary of the believer, in the congregation of the saints, and I've heard over and over again in these many years that I've been saved in the grace of God, how that God has worked miracles in the lives of his children. But you know, somehow, that's just not good enough. That's just not good enough. Just to hear about it. Brethren, I've experienced it. I've experienced these miracles in my life. I've seen God do things that to man cannot be explained. You have too. They've happened in my life. And I think that's what David's saying here. He's saying, look, it's one thing to know that God is light and that God is salvation. But he said, I'm glad that he is my light. I'm glad that he's my salvation. It's one thing to hear that God gives courage and God gives strength and that those who place their trust in him do not have to fear. He's saying, but I've experienced that. I've experienced that in my life. And so David is giving kind of a personal testimony of his experience with God. He knows what it is to be on personal terms with God. How about you? Amen. You know what it is to be on personal terms with God? I pray that you do. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It really is. And I bless God for it. Now, David kind of goes from that into verse number 2 and 3, and he begins to delight in God. Now, I want you to notice what he does here. He does what every Christian should do. So I want you to pay very close attention to the approach that David takes here, because this is going to help us. We're living in times where, and it really doesn't matter what you think about what's going on, somewhere it may be on the forefront of your heart, maybe on the top, it may be down in the recesses or stored away in the back, but there's fear associated with the days that we're going through right now in some way. And what David does here is going to help us not only in where we are in life right now, but it's going to help us as we go forward until Jesus comes again. He says this, he said, as I look back over my life, and he gives a past experience. And because of the past experience, he says, as I look forward, I know that the God that has taken care of me in the past is the God that's going to take care of me in the present and the God that's going to see me through in the future. Watch what he says. He said, when the wicked, in verse 2, even mine enemies and my foes came upon me. See, that's in the past. He said, I'm recalling a time when the wicked... I'm recalling a time. All right, Paisley. He said, I'm recalling a time when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. He said, they stumbled and fell. God wrought the victory. Amen? God would not allow them to overcome me. He said, I'm looking back and I'm remembering what God has done in my life. And then he said this in verse number 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. He said, moving forward in the future, regardless of what happens, though a host, though an army should encamp against me, he said, my heart's not going to fear. Why, David? He said, because I know what God has done for me in the past, and the God that took care of me in the past, and the God that gave me victory in the past, is the God that's going to take care of me in the present, and the God that's going to see me through in the future. Amen. And so David said here, he said, I'm delighting in God, that God is consistent, that God is faithful, that God has never let me down, and that God will not let me down, and that God will never, moving forward, let me down. Why? Because God takes care of his own. God takes care of his own. And so David is delighting in the Lord. He's praising God, and he's using past experiences. And I want you to do this. And God help me to do this. We ought to do it more often. We ought to look back over the course of our life, and we ought to just remember where God has brought us from and what God has brought us through. God's never let us down, brethren. Just look at what God has done in our personal lives. And we all have a testimony. We all have stories. We all have accounts that God has been faithful to us. I think about the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church and how God has been faithful and how God has brought us through and how God continues to meet our every need. And I am just as sure as I am standing before you this evening that the God that has seen us this far is going to see us through. I'm just as sure of that as I'm standing before you tonight. Why? Because God is faithful. That's why. God is faithful. And David is saying, I'm delighting in the Lord that he is the God of Jacob and he changes not. Then he said this in verse number 4. He goes from delighting in the Lord to desiring the Lord. Now, it's one thing to desire to be in God's house, but when you know the backdrop of this account here, David is running. His son, his own flesh and blood, has revolted against him. And he's overthrew the throne, Absalom, and he's coming after David. And here's David running and he's hiding. And as I said, many believe that he was in a field during this time. And yet God gave him a song. God gave him a song. God gives you a song in the night, doesn't he? God can do that. God can do that. And so notice what he said. One thing, verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David said, you know, I think I've taken the house of God for granted. I've been on the run, and I'm missing that public worship time. And I thought about, here we see it. You know, sometimes we can't even come to drive-in services. We sit at home and we watch the live stream. And we're thankful for that, aren't we? We're thankful for live stream, for YouTube. But you know, as I've said many times during this entire event that we're going through, I know I've taken it for granted. I don't want to become so familiar with the goodness and the blessings of God that I take it for granted. And yet, if we're not careful, brethren, we can take something as simple as getting into our vehicles and driving down to the local church and going in and being able to shake our brothers and sisters' hands and greet one another and ask how we're doing and brag on Jesus to one another and encourage one another and fellowship with one another and talk about the common faith that we share and the fact that we're headed to heaven. And if we're not careful, we can take that for granted. And I believe this is what David is doing right here. David's on the run. And David is missing something that he got in the public worship. Notice what he said here. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Look at this, all the days of my life. So, well, now, he's talking about in heaven, preacher. No, that's the 23rd Psalm. See, in the 23rd Psalm, it ends that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But this Psalm says, all the days of my life. See, the 23rd Psalm speaks about, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's talking about in the temple of God, where the temple of God will be with man in eternity. But in this particular verse, in this particular desire that David has of the Lord, he's talking about in his lifetime. He said, I don't want to take for granted. I don't want to do without the public worship service. Thank God for the opportunity that I get to go. Notice what he talked about. He said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That place, that public worship place where things come together, where there's so much. I thought back on my life. A lot of good things have happened for me in the house of the Lord. How about you? I didn't get saved in church. I didn't. But I got to make a public profession of my faith in a local church. Sharon and I walked the aisle a week after we got saved, and we made a public profession of our faith in a local New Testament Bible-believing church. We were baptized in a local New Testament Bible-believing church the following Sunday evening. We were married in a local New Testament Bible-believing church sometime later after that. We've dedicated our lives and our ministry to God in a local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. We have dedicated our children and their lives to God in a local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. I have met some of the finest people that I've ever met in my life in a local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. Some of the greatest things that have ever happened to me in my life have happened to me in a local New Testament Bible-believing church. How about you? The church is essential. I am so grateful for the church. Now, I realize you don't have to be in church to worship God. You can worship God at home. You can worship God in the woods. You can worship God fishing, hunting. You can worship God. But there's just something special about the church house. There's just something special about what David called the house of the Lord. Then notice what he said. He said, not only do I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life, he said, but I want to behold the beauty of the Lord, and I want to inquire in his temple. That's something. David is saying here, I not only delight in the Lord, I desire the Lord all the days of my life. I want to stay in God's house. I want the house of God to be a part of my life for as long as I'm alive. And I pray that you do too, and that you will. Notice what he said in verse number 5. He said, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. have any idea what the pavilion is? I researched this. I thought it was a religious type of structure, but it's actually not. It's a tent. The pavilion is a tent that was carried with the armies of Israel when they were marching to do battle. And in this tent, it was a royal tent for the king. And he would pitch that tent in the center of the army so that all the host of the armies of that king would be round about him for security and for protection and safety. And I thought about what David was saying here. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion." Not my pavilion. See, David was a king, and he had his own pavilion, but he said, God's going to hide me in his pavilion. God's going to protect me with his army. God's going to give me security with his power. Just like David said, you know, I have that when I travel with my people. He said, God is going to grant that to me as part of his people. Brethren, we have that too. We have safety and security in God Almighty. I'm glad that I don't have to go home tonight and bite my nails and grit my teeth and try to go to sleep with fear in my heart, wondering if I should die before I wake. Will I go to heaven? I'm just as sure of heaven as I am of earth. Amen. I'm just as sure that I'm going to heaven, not because of any good that I've done, not because of me being faithful to God, but because God has been faithful to me. We're going to heaven, brethren. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because God said so in his book, in the word of God. And so David said, he's going to hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock. And he said in verse number 6, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." So David, what are you saying? David is saying, while I'm here on earth, I want to be in God's house. I want to shout the victory. I want to sing God's praises. God has put a song in my heart. God has been good to me. Now, what is David saying here? He's telling us about God and how good he's been. Have you noticed what David is doing? He's mentioning God in the third person. All right? It's as though he's writing a song and he's saying, "Let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about my God, the God who is my light, the God who is my salvation. Let me tell you how wonderful my God is." Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I approach life that way? I think many of us do. I pray that God would help me to do this every day of my life. I want to approach life the way David's approaching it right here. Let me tell you how great my God is. Let me tell you what God means to me. Let me tell you what the deepest desires of my heart are. It's not to own another vehicle or a yacht or a mansion. It's that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That I could have a shout and a song in my heart. And that I could have that security that comes from knowing who God is and what God is going to do for me in my life. David said, that's the God I want to tell you about. Now I want you to notice how verse number 7 now changes. In verse number 7, he goes from talking about God to talking to God. He said, "Hear, O Lord." Something's happened. It's almost as if David just, I don't know, his mood swings and he begins to remember, hey, I'm not in the house of the Lord. That's my desire, but that's not where I'm at. I'm in a field running from my son who is revolted against my kingdom. And so he says here in verse number 7, he says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." David said, "Lord, I need you. God, you've been good to me. And I love you and I thank you for all you've done for me. But God, I'm in a bad way here." As I mentioned to you earlier, there's times that I've been praying and I found myself, and I'm in no way like David, so please don't think that I'm comparing myself to him, but I found myself using language similar to David, talking about how great God is and all that he's done for me and how I delight in him. And then in a moment's time, God, I need you. God, don't turn away from me. Verse number 7, God, have mercy on me. God, answer me. God, don't hide. Look at verse number 9. God, don't hide your face from me. God, don't put me away. Put not thy servant away. God, don't leave me. God, don't forsake me. It's amazing how David went from way up here to here. From the mountaintop to the lowest part of the valley. It can happen just like that, can't it? In a moment's time. You know why? We're fickle like that. We are. We're but of the dust of the earth. I'm glad God pities us. He knows our frame. He knows we're weak. He does. Notice what David said here. He said, God, I need your grace. Don't leave me. Don't hide me, Lord. Don't hide from me. Don't hide your face. Don't put me off. Don't forsake me. And then he gave what I believe to be, as far as I can tell now, I've searched the scripture. If you can see differently, you come to me. I don't mind. I'm open. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where David's father and mother forsook him. And yet he makes this statement in verse number 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I think what David is doing here is he's saying, the worst thing that I could ever think of for a child is for that child's father or mother to forsake them, to abandon them, to leave them on their own. That's the worst thing that could happen. And by the way, I agree that it is. I do. And if you're here and you know what that feels like in some way, then I think you can say, yeah, it stings. It stings when a parent walks out on a child and says, well, you know, I just want to be happy. Forget about the cares of that child or those children. I've just got to be happy. I've just got to do what's best for me. As a parent, I want to encourage every parent here under the sound of my voice and those that are watching by live stream, I pray to God, we ought to be willing to wade through hell for our children. Amen. We ought to be willing to fight for our children. Our children are watching. They're looking to see if our faith is real. They want to see if it's just something that we're going through as far as the emotions, or if it's something that's real in our hearts. And I pray that my children and your children will see that it's real. And so David says here, he said, you know, the worst thing I could think of is for my father and my mother to forsake me. He said, but you know what? Even if they did, my Lord will take me up. My Lord will take me up. When those that should love me most walk away from me, God will never walk away from me. Aren't you glad that that's the kind of God that we serve? You know, the gods of the idol gods of paganism, the gods that are made with hands, they're angry and they're always asking for those that follow them to give unto them and to give. You never can give enough. But I'm glad that God just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. Someone says that we're never more like God than when we're giving. David said, I'm glad that God is a God of grace and that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, even when we're fearful. So you see what's happened to David here? He's gone from way up here to faith, and now he's kind of sliding a little bit, and he's getting a little concerned. That's a good word. That's what Baptists call worry. You know, we know worry's a sin, so we don't say worry, we say concerned, right? And so David's getting a little concerned here, but notice as we bring this to a close now, how that God turns his heart back again. And if you're here and maybe you're just finding yourself oscillating back and forth and up and down, all right, I want to encourage you. Maybe you say, you know, one moment I know that God's going to take care of my family through this pandemic, through this time where there's economic fright and a downturn, and when I'm uncertain about so many things, I want you to trust in God's word And I want to trust in God's word, and I want us to see what David did when, I mean, he was on the run. His own family, his own son had turned against him. He didn't know what was going to happen in the future. But let's look at what he said here. He went from God, "You're great, and I want to tell you about my God," to, "Lord, you know I need you, and I need your grace, and I can't do this without you. Don't leave me on my own, Lord. Don't forsake me. Don't abandon me." And he closed this way: "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies." He said in verse number 12, "Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me as such as breathe out cruelty." So what's he saying? Number one, after he said, "God, I need your grace now. I need your grace," he said, and I want you to write this down. He said, "God, I want your guidance." You know, these days in which we live, we need God's guidance. We do. I was telling the men last night when we had our special meeting, if we're not careful, in times like these, we'll lean upon our own understanding, and we're all apt to do it. Because we each one have a position, and we have a way that we feel about the things that are happening in our world, and it's so easy to put out there, well, you know, I think this, or I feel that way, or I see it this way. What we need to do is say, "Lord, help me to trust you. And in all of my ways, Lord, I want to acknowledge you. I want you to direct my paths." Isn't that what David's saying? In his moment of uncertainty, where he's way up here saying, "Let me tell you how great God is," and then he's way down here saying, "Lord, don't leave me. Don't hide your face from me. Don't put me away." He said, when I'm uncertain and I find myself going back and forth, he said, I want you to guide me. Isn't that what he said in verse number 11 and 12? "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in thy plain path. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me as such as breathe out cruelty." Then he said in verse number 13, "God, not only do I need your guidance, but I need to be reminded daily of your goodness." Look here in verse number 13. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Sometimes we look around in this old low land of sorrow that we live, and it's hard to see the goodness. But David said, you know, there's goodness all around us. And David said, "I looked around, and instead of just seeing what was happening in my life and in my situation," he said, "I saw what God was doing in the lives of others." I don't know what you're going through. It may be a terrible situation, but somehow we have got to get our eyes off of just us. And I think that's why people are so stricken with fear. I see people, you know, "Stay away from me. Don't get around me. Don't touch me." You know, there's people, when I hear about states reopening, and I'm not going to turn this into a political thing, but it can't be just about you and how it would affect you. There's other people that are being affected too. And we have to look at how it affects all of us and not just me and mine. And so David said here, "God, guide me. I need your guidance," in verse 11 and 12. But then he says this: "God, remind me of your goodness." He said, "I would have fainted." And as we go through this time, it's very easy to look at all the negative and all the reports that are being put out there and all the things that are happening. We need to look at some good things. There's some good things happening right now. All right, there's people being saved. There's people getting their lives right with God. There's things that are happening. God is still working. God hasn't quit working just because our world is going through a pandemic. All right? And so he said, "I'm learning to trust you as I look at what you're doing in the lives of others. I'm a little frightful in my own life, Lord, but I'm learning to trust again as I see what you're doing." And then here's the key. All right? Look, if you would, in verse number 14. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know what David said? He said, "Lord, I want you to do this, and I want you to help me to wait on you to do it. I want you to guide me. I know I'll run ahead of you, Lord. That's just the way I am." How about you? Lord, I'll wait on you for a day, and then I'll be going right back my own way. Right? I'll ask you to teach me and guide me for this day, but before long, if I'm not careful, I'll be trying to do it my way again. Lord, I'll try to stay positive, and I'll try to see the goodness of what you're doing in other people's lives, but if I'm not reminded regularly, all this negativity that's going on in the world around me and all the bad things that are happening, that we're just being bombarded on every hand with all of this stuff. And so, God, help me. Help me to be patient. Wait on the Lord. And I like the way David put a double emphasis on it. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. Now, what was that you said, David? He said, wait, I say, on the Lord. And so there's a psalm that David said, the Lord is good. And when my faith is high, I can delight in him. But when my faith is not high and I am in fear, I can trust him. And you can too. And I can too. All right? Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for this psalm. Thank you for David sharing this life experience with us in song. Lord, I pray that as we consider our own lives, our own experience that we're going through in this day in which we live, help us to remember the words of the psalmist here in this psalm. Help us to realize we need your grace. We need your guidance. We need to be reminded of your goodness. And we need to know what it is to learn to trust you, even in the fearful times. It's easy to brag on you, to talk about your goodness when we're on the mountaintop and when everything's going well. But God, when we're fearful and things are not going so well, help us to still brag on you, to still say, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen.